For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. Thank you for your blessing and your help in our lives. And Father, I ask that every person here have an open heart to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we're looking at the pillar and ground of the truth, part two. We started with part one, looking at what the Bible calls the church of the living God. Let's have a look at 1 Timothy 4, chapter 3, first of all. 1 Timothy 3. Look at verses 14 to 16 of 1 Timothy 3. It says, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the pillar and ground of the living, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." So we see here that the church is called the house of God, which is the church of the living God. This is what verse 15 tells us. The pillar and ground of the truth. We were looking at the fact that the truth, and the Bible calls God's word the truth, it says thy word is truth. The truth is upheld and is foundational to the church. The word pillar, obviously if you have a pillar in a structure, you know that that is upholding something. So the church is seen to be the pillar and ground of the truth. So you would expect to find in the church truth, not error, but truth. And this is something that's very, very important for us to see, that God's word is the truth. If you look at 1 Timothy 4 verse 6, it tells us something about God's word. "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained." So he's talking about nourishment in the words of faith and good doctrine. And when a person is born again, when they've received Christ as their Saviour, they come out of the world system, which is ruled by Satan himself. The Bible tells us that he is the god of this world, little g god. And you come to operating in the kingdom of God. Kingdom obviously means the dominion of the king. The king being God, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now there are words that the world is continually putting out. That is, when I say the world, that is those making up outside the church, and the church is made up of those that are born again, made up of saved people. So there are words constantly being put out by the world. And often these contradict the Bible, they contradict the truth. So the church, as the pillar and ground of the truth, is going to stand in stark contrast to the world. Now where the great problems come is where the church starts to get away from the nourishing words of faith, which we just read there, and away from good doctrine, which is proper teaching based upon the word of God. So, whereas the world will have all types of things to justify sin, and there'll be much criticism of, for example, the Bible, which we see and know to be the word of God, but the word is supposed to be held up in the church. you have a look at Psalm 119, verse 160. Let's have a look at that. Psalm 119, verse 160. Psalm 119 deals with the Word of God right through. And in this particular verse, it tells us something that's very important. It says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." So the word of God is looked at by Christ and in itself as being true, and the church is meant to be the pillar and ground of the truth. So you would expect that the word of God is of very great importance in the church, and so it should be. And so in the church you have preaching and teaching. We looked at before about a minister of God, Timothy, feeding the church, feeding the people that make up the church with nourishing words of faith and good doctrine. Now where the churches, many churches, get off track is when they get away from the truth, away from the Word of God. So if we believe that God's Word is true from the beginning, then from Genesis to Revelation, we believe it to be true. Now, the world has particular doctrines that come against that, and people have a choice to believe either that or to believe the truth, the Word of God. Now, when you take hold of the truth, when you take hold of the Word of God and make it foundational, and Jesus talked about a person building their house upon the rock, and he talked about the rock being his words, that's when there's stability. That's when there's stability in people's lives. If you have a look at 2 Timothy, go back to 2 Timothy now, chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. 2 Timothy 1, verses 1 to 7. So there are two words on the earth today. There's the Word of God, and God has placed his word in the earth. And there's the word of man, the word of the world, we can say. And it is made up of many different doctrines and teachings, which are primarily against the Word of God. So we're looking at 2 Timothy, starting from chapter 1. And we'll look at verse 5 here. He's talking to Timothy. Paul, the apostle, has talked to Timothy, and he says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." So Paul is talking about a progression here. He's talking about the grandmother, Eunice, had faith in her. Grandmother Lois had faith in her. His mother Eunice had faith in him, and Timothy himself had unfeigned faith in him. Unfeigned means unpretended. There's no pretense associated with it. It's true. I believe the word to be true. No matter what man says, I believe what the word says. And that's what unfeigned faith is all about. Now, there's a lot of people that leave the church, will leave the Lord, and leave going his ways, because there has to be something inside them, an anchor, so to speak, to keep them linked to the Lord. Faith, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith, and the faith is trusting, believing God, and the word of God is linked together. So you would expect that if the church of the living God is the pillar and ground of the truth, then it should be producing in people faith. This is very important. So that people will be linked to the Lord, will be linked to believing the Lord and growing in faith rather than leaving the Lord or going away from Him or going away from His Word. So the problem is that when people start to compromise with the world, and the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But when people start to conform to the world, even when churches start to conform to the world, they start to lose their connection to the truth. Because remember, the world, the Bible says, the whole world lieth in wickedness. The world, made up of those who aren't born again, is not connected to the Lord. The Bible says they're without Christ, without God. And because of that, if the churches especially start to compromise with the world, they can no longer be the pillar and ground of the truth. Because if it's a pillar and ground of the truth, it's going to produce faith in people. It's going to produce that faith, that trust, that security, that anchor in people so that they can go forward in the Lord in strength and victory. And as we see before in Timothy, there's unfeigned faith that is in thee. So this is where, you know, you get young people who leave the church because faith is not in them. It's got to be in them. It's not just an external thing. It's actually in them. If you look at 3 John, across to 3 John, we see here something else that must be in people. And I just mentioned it before. 3 John 3 and 4. 3 John 3 and 4. John says this, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is," where? "In thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." So we see here that when the truth, which is the Word of God, is in people, not only does it give joy to like John and other, and ministers of God, not only does it give joy to the brethren, but what do they do? They walk in the truth as well. Their whole Christian walk, and the Bible says we walk by faith, their whole Christian walk is in the truth. In other words, grounded in the Word of God. So if you want to have stability in God, you have to be grounded in the Word of God, in the Bible. In other words, you have to get the truth in you. And because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, that's what Romans 10:17 tells us, then you'll also get faith in you as well. Now, if you have faith in you, nothing the devil does can stop you. Nothing the devil does can get you off base. This is very, very important for us to understand. This is why the church cannot compromise with the world, because if it does, it will not produce people that has the truth in them and faith in them. And because of that, it'll go away from being that light, that candle to the world. And the Bible says that Christians are meant to be children of light and not to hide their candle, hide their light. So we see that John the Apostle is saying, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth, and it's because they've got the truth in them. The truth has got in them somehow. How did that truth get into them? How did the truth get in them? Well, let's have a look at Romans 10. Romans 10. And this is predominantly what the church must really concentrate on. And we see it in Romans 10. We'll just look at verse 8. It says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." So where does the word of God have to be according to this scripture? It's to be in your mouth. It's to be in your heart. Where the Bible talks about the word heart, it's talking about the inner man, which is the spirit and soul. So you've got to get the word planted into your heart. And a good ground heart, we know, will produce fruit and will retain the word of God. So the other thing we could see from this verse, and let me just read it again, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee," that means very near, very close to you, "even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." People don't understand. A lot of people don't understand, particularly those in the world. They don't understand the importance of preaching. It's not just preaching a bunch of stories or philosophies. It's preaching the word of faith that we see here, the word of God. The word that produces faith. That's what it's talking about. The word of faith is the word that produces faith. And it's talking about producing faith in people so that they can be lights to the world, part of the church. The Bible talks about the members of the body, and the body is called the church as well. And we'll talk a lot more about that on Tuesday night in the PowerPoint. What we see here is that if the preaching is based and grounded in the Word of God and is consistently applied, then you're going to see people will have the Word in their mouth. They'll be speaking that rather than fear and doubt and unbelief. They'll be speaking faith and belief and strength and agreement with the Word of God in what they say. And the Word in them, in their heart. This is what has to happen. And the Bible talks about in Ephesians 5 that Jesus is returning for a word-washed, spotless church. We currently see right across the globe a fractured, unbelieving type of church right across the globe. But God is returning, Jesus is returning, so what's going to be presented to him is a word-washed type of church. We don't have time to turn to that, but it's in Ephesians 5 if you want to read that. Now, one of the things that the Lord warned, and we'll have a look at the warning that Paul the Apostle gave in Acts 20. Have a look in Acts 20. He warned that there would be things that would try to come into the church, the churches as a whole, try to come into the churches to destroy its witness, to get it off being the pillar and ground of the truth, so that it could not be a witness to the world. And remember what Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned." So we know that the church is to be preaching the word, the gospel, and presenting a great witness to the world. Look at Acts 20. Acts 20. Now, Paul is talking to the elders of the church of Ephesus here. And Acts 20, verse 28, we'll start from verse 28. This is what he says. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to what? Feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." Okay, so notice it says feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. God purchased the church with his own blood. Now that's talking about what we read before God was manifest in the flesh. So Jesus, who is God, purchased the church with his own blood. This is why we do not devalue the church and its importance. He's talking about the local church here too, which of course makes up, put them all together, you make up the church universal. He said that they are to see that they have been given a commission, something to do by the Holy Ghost himself, because it says he's made them overseers, to feed the church of God. What are they going to feed the church of God? It has to be the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So this is what a Bible-believing church has to be about, and that is that the people in it are born again, and they are being fed with the word of God through what we saw before, preaching, teaching, nourishing words of faith, good doctrine. They are fed so that not just for themselves, but so that they can be strong in the Lord, so that they can be, as the Bible talks about, planted in the house of God, and they can be a witness to the world. Now, I believe that God is at work, not just in this church, but right across this city, because he needs to have a strong witness in this city and in this nation, and of course across the globe. But let's start here first. So to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Jesus sees the church as very important. Okay? This is why, and I've met up with many people over the years who have sought to devalue the church and say, I can be a Christian but not go to church. Wrong. Jesus, in many places, shows that he values the church. He in fact purchased it with his own blood. This is talking to the local church here, and you can see it if you read it. Verse 29, Paul gives a prophecy here, and he says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." So we see that there was a warning. Wolves are going to come in. There's going to be people that will arise in your midst who will speak perverse things, and those would be things that would be against the word of God, or contrary, or twisting it, and against good doctrine. The perverse things, changing things that bring it away from the truth. And so Paul gave a warning, and there's a warning today that is going out as well, because there are still wolves. There is still, the Bible talks about false brethren, false prophets, false apostles, etc. There are still people speaking perverse things amongst the churches to draw away disciples after them. And he's saying, therefore, watch and remember. You see, if the church is not grounded in the word of God, it's easy for the devil to take people out into the world again and away from the truth. So the truth has to be preached, has to be taught, has to be fed to people. So what was Paul's solution here? Well, he gives a solution in verse 32. And he says, "And now, brethren," so he's talking to a local congregations here. He's not talking to some ethereal, oh, we don't know where the church is. No, he's talking to people here. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to what? The word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. And the word sanctified means set apart from the world and sin and separated unto God and his ways. So he's commending them to God and to the word of his grace. He's commending them to the word of God. In other words, that's going to be the crucial thing you'll need to have in your life so that you're not devoured by the wolves or led away by the false things or those, as it says there, men arise speaking perverse things. This is why there has to be the emphasis on the word of God. There has to be. Absolutely. Look at 2 Timothy 2, verses 15 to 18. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 15 to 18. Now, in this section of Scripture, he shows that there are people speaking words that are the opposite to building up. Remember, we saw as able to build you up. Able to build you up. Give you a security in the Lord. Give you strength. Give you faith. Show you the things that the Lord Jesus Christ has provided for you in salvation. Is able to build you up. Okay? But there are, as I said before, there are people in the churches that are speaking things that are contrary to the word. It doesn't build people up, but eats away at them, destroys them. And they might not even realise this or know this, but that's exactly what's happening. And we're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll start from verse 15, we'll go to verse 18. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we see the word study is used there. The modern versions take out that word, of course. They don't want people to study. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So understanding it, rightly dividing it. Verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And notice what it says in verse 17, and their word will eat as doth a canker. That's where we get the word cancer from. Canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. So he names a couple of people who have been putting out a word contrary to the word of God, and it increases unto more ungodliness. And their word is eating people up like a cankerous word, like a word that is keeping people away from the truth and is not building them up. Not building them up at all. So the challenge to the church is to have the truth go into people through proper preaching, nourishing words of faith, as we saw before. So get into people's hearts and into their mouth. And into their mouth. Praise the Lord. If you go to 2 Timothy 3, just go a little bit across, look at verses 13 to 17. It says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So this is a prophecy. We can expect that type of thing is going to happen more and more. So it's all the more reason why there should not be compromise with the world. Notice what Paul's solution is here. But, in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what? Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. You see why the scripture, the word of God, must be emphasized. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for getting people on track, for instruction in righteousness, how to live a righteous life. In other words, it's there to build you up, to strengthen, and as it says, that the man of God may be perfect, that is, come to a mature, complete condition in the Lord, truly furnished unto all good works. What does God want us to do? Well, we didn't work for our salvation, because we saw before Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. God purchased the church with his own blood. There's no way we worked for salvation. Once we're in the body of Christ, once we've been born again, saved from sin, that's when God expects us to do works for him. And how do we get furnished to be able to do those works for him? It's through the word of God. So we see the church as the pillar and ground of the truth must be upholding the church so that it is ready to do God's will on the earth. The church made up of the members, different members of the body of Christ, and each have their part to do. So it's not just the ministers of the word, pastors and so on. It's not just them that are doing the work, the good works. It has to be everyone in the body of Christ doing those works. Let's have a look, and we'll just look at this couple of sections in the book of Revelation, chapter 2. Revelation 2. And I want you to see a couple of things from here, and we'll finish. Revelation 2, 14 to 16. Verse 14, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. Verse 16, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. There's a few things to note here. There are various doctrines, for example, the doctrine of Balaam there, which caused stumbling blocks. There's another one, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. We don't have time to go into what these doctrines were about, but it was something that Jesus himself hated. We don't want to be teaching or have in the church doctrines that Jesus hates. Okay? He's the head of the body. He's the head of the church. So you'll be wanting to be having the Word of God doctrines. Verse 16, he says, repent. And this is not a popular word, but the word repent should be used a lot more often. Now, repentance is a clearing house. Rather than people justifying their sin, their wrongdoings, and saying, well, I did this because of this and that person and so on, they should say, Lord, I have sinned before you. Forgive me. I turn to you. I turn to you, and I won't be back turning back to that. And notice in verse 16, repent or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. The sword of God's mouth is his word. Is his word, okay? The Bible says that the word of God is the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians 6. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you and praise you. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your word. Father, let every person's ears here be opened to hear, to understand. Every heart before you be assured that there is a truth and there is error, but that your church as a whole should be preaching and teaching the Word of God, the truth. Father, show us, bring us into a greater understanding in this, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord.